We are recording. All right. So good evening, everyone, and welcome. I'm Deb Stevens, the Vice President of the State Board of Education. We want to welcome you all here this evening. We do apologize for the delay. Apparently, there was a traffic incident on Route 1, and so a number of our members were a bit delayed in getting here. We do have a forum now, so we're ready to begin. I'd like to call the April 10th regular meeting to order. It is 5:14 p.m. This meeting is open to the public at the Polytech School District in Woodside, Delaware, and electronically via Zoom. The State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and meeting information on April 3rd on the State Public Meeting Calendar website. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. Today's agenda contains two opportunities for public comment. There is time allotted for regulations and then general public comment near the end of the meeting. Sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment via email and are logged in through the meeting URL, please type your name, organization, and comment topic in the chat box now. If you would join through the call-in option and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in online through the meeting URL. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded, and the recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of this meeting. When voting on items for action, I will ask all those in favor say aye, and we will only do a roll call vote if there is a dissent. Also, as a reminder, when speaking or making a motion, please state your name. So, Mr. Avila, would you please do a roll call of the Delaware State Board of Education members?
Yes, Madam Vice President. Mr. Brigham. Dr. Griffin.
Present.
Dr. Latavia.
Present.
Reverend Powell.
Present.
Mr. Sean.
Present.
Mr. Simmons.
Present.
Ms. Stevens.
Present.
Dr. Dava.
Present.
Madam Vice President, you have the floor.
Thank you. I will also note that we have Deputy Attorney General Alex Corbin and State Board Staff Kathleen Smith and Marco Avila participating in today's meeting. The board's agenda was posted on April 3rd. Are there any changes to the agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as presented?
Griffin, second.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. All right, we now move to the approval of the March 20th regular meeting minutes. The March 20th regular meeting minutes were provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions?
Madam Vice Chair, may I make a suggestion?
You may.
I would like to suggest an amendment to the meeting minutes to reflect that board members asked Michael Saylor and Brandy Fox whether the leader prep programs were available to educators in both the traditional and charter schools, and board members inquired whether the evaluation process and professional learning supports are the same for both traditional and charter schools. I have one more amendment. That was a part with the prep programs, and then when the scholarship regulation was presented, I'd like to suggest the meeting minutes to reflect that board members discussed including the demonstration of financial need as an eligibility requirement more accurately reflects our discussion rather than just a broad statement of whether the scholarships.
So noted. Any other additions or deletions to those minutes from March 20th? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the March 20th regular meeting minutes as amended?
Sitting separately.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. We now move to the Secretary's report. Before we get into tonight's presentations, we will be hearing from the Secretary at this time. Secretary Martin, are you there?
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Excellent. Hi. We look forward to your report.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully you all can hear me. I apologize for being remote again. I think this is the last one that I have a conflict with, at least that I know of. So to not be able to be there in person, and I realize many of you were stuck in the traffic because I just left the State of the State speech, but that the governor gave down in Dover to head up to Wilmington, and I saw the traffic that you were all stuck in getting down there. So hopefully everybody's safe. As far as my update, the breaking news, of course, is the governor just gave the State of the State address and key topics around education, raising educator salaries, getting cell phones out of schools, investing directly in our teachers and classrooms, and calling on the legislature to pass a holistic school funding reform framework before summer vacation. Those are the highlights from education. Of course, early childhood and other key priorities were folded into there, but those are the key policy statements that he made in the State of the State, and I'm sure it's available online if anyone hasn't seen it. I already submitted my report with all of the highlights in it. There was also some breaking news since I gave my report. Several of you had asked about what's going on in Washington, D.C., with some of the things that are coming our way. One of them was in the first part of my report was about the U.S. Department of Education telling states to revoke the extensions for the spending of the ARP dollars. And that was something that I worked on when I was Deputy Secretary of Education, getting the late liquidation approved. And when it was approved during the previous administration, then we thought it was all good to go. But this current administration decided to not recognize the approval of the extension for late liquidation. You might find that interesting. They were approved in the previous administration that districts and states across the country were advocating at the time to say, we can't spend this money in time when we're doing large projects. They will take longer. So late liquidation was approved if people would submit certifications saying why they needed additional time to spend the money to help with learning loss or learning recovery. So all of those plans that were approved got disapproved and people have to resubmit is basically what's happening there. The good news I want to say for Delaware, as I watched this roll out across the country in my previous role, y'all in Delaware should know that Delaware Department of Education is in an extraordinarily strong position around this rescinding of these dollars and having to resubmit for the projects that were the ARP dollars are going to be used for, because Delaware has exhausted almost all of those ARP dollars. There's only 2% of the dollars left in the ARP funds, where some states have huge balances left to spend. Delaware does not. And I want to credit the Delaware Department of Education's fiscal team for managing these dollars really well. No state, I can affirmatively say, managed these funds as strategically and thoughtfully as Delaware did. That being said, when the federal government's asking us to resubmit, we do have 9 LEAs that are still wrapping up their projects, and that's totaling $12 million. That is a tiny amount compared to what many states are dealing with, and yet it still has an impact. So we will resubmit and make sure that these obligations and expenditures, because they basically said that we have obligations and expenditures that were submitted after March 28th, 2025, that have not been reimbursed to date. We want to get those reimbursed. So we have their backs, so to speak. I've talked to the districts. Our finance team has talked to the district CFOs to make sure any of those outstanding projects will resubmit, and hopefully they'll be approved again, because they were already approved, but now they have to be approved again. So that's what's happening with American Rescue Plan funds. Notice to rescind the approval to spend it, and just know Delaware is in a really good space. And we have a plan A, a plan B, and plan C to make sure that the $12 million that are at stake for Delaware for those 9 LEAs will be, we will still have a path forward so they can complete the projects that they've committed to. The other thing that I know, Deb, you asked about after attending the NASB, the State Board, yeah, I think it was the NASB conference that you were at, around the U.S. Department of Education also asking that states certify. They're asking all 50 states and 15,000 Title I recipients to certify. They sent a letter to us certifying that the state school chiefs are in compliance with anti-discrimination obligations in order to continue to receive federal assistance. And so they asked that we certify that we're in compliance with Title VI of the for Civil Rights Act, and they outlined the responsibilities as mentioned in the Students for Fair Admission versus Harvard. We as a state have not yet responded to that, but the breaking news was today, the ACLU actually won a lawsuit that blocks the Department from Ed of Education, U.S. Department of Education, from taking any enforcement action under this new directive until at least April 24th, 2025. So the request that they're asking us to certify that we're in compliance with the law, which, by the way, we are, and we are planning to certify. We have not submitted a letter yet, a response yet, but we will. We don't have to now because there's been an injunction. We have till April 24th to do that. We'll see where it ends up. I'm still leaning towards submitting a certification because we've always been in compliance with federal law, and we will continue to be in compliance with federal law. So that's what's happening with those two things coming out of the U.S. Department of Education. I expect that there will be more. There will continue between now and July, lots of pressure tactics coming from DC, and we will continue to respond. Steady hand, steady leadership, clear-eyed on we know the work that we have in front of us in Delaware, serving our students and making sure our students and schools and educators are protected and supported as we answer the mail, so to speak, coming from DC. So those are the federal updates, the questions I think that you've been asking me, so you have some context and background on where we are. And more exciting news than that is Delaware named six Delaware teachers as state finalists. Those I included in the report. A shout out to all those teachers. I also recognized 96 high school seniors this week at the Secretary of Education Scholars event. That was my first time doing that. That was fabulous. And I also attended Glasgow High School this week while they got recognized as a School of Excellence Award for having great pathway options for students post-secondary. I was also a part of the Vision 2035 Vision Coalition agenda where we announced the Vision 2035. It's a third 10-year plan outlining the things that we've accomplished in the last 20 years and outlining what needs to happen in the next 10 years. So those are the major updates that I have for now, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Secretary Martin. Do any board members have any items for discussion with the secretary or any questions they'd like to ask at this time? Well, you've been so complete, there are no questions. No need for further discussion. I would like to say we are looking forward to working with you on May 22nd at our strategic planning meeting, which is scheduled for that date, where we can start talking priorities that we're going to move forward to impact student outcomes and get Delaware closer to becoming number one. So, thank you, Secretary, for your input and safe travels for you tonight.
Okay, thanks everybody. Take good care.
Take care. All right, next up we have presentations. And so, I would like to look first to our hosts this evening. The Polytechnic School District will be giving us a presentation. And so we'd definitely like to thank you for hosting this board meeting and Superintendent Dr. Kevin Dickerson and Dr. Betsy Jones, Director of Adult Education. Would you please share your information about Polytech?
Sure. And thank you for being here this evening. We're really joined. We're excited to have an opportunity to host here this evening. And very thankful for all the support you provide us here with education throughout our state. So not just only here for us at Polytech, but also throughout our entire state. First and foremost, we're most proud of our students. And you'll see a lot of adult education students here tonight going to classes, and you'll see them throughout the evening and early nonstop to after 9:30, almost 10 o'clock at night. And we also have a couple of our Polytech high school students. We're very proud of our high school students as well. And some of you had a chance to meet here earlier. So I'm glad you had a chance to meet some of our high school students earlier. I'm going to let some of our guides that were out here tonight helping us out with the evening just introduce themselves and tell you what kind of program study they are in here at Polytech. Please.
My name is Elise Fuller. I'm a criminal justice pathway, and I'm involved in track and fielding cross country. I'm also a member of the Senior Student Council. I serve as the secretary, and I'm the president of the Polytech Athletic Leadership Club.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gabby Morgan. I'm a senior here at Polytech, and I'm also in criminal justice. I'm a state officer with Skills USA. I'm on the National Honor Society board, and I'm the president of Interact Club, but I'm also a track and field.
I am Tate Patton. I'm in Carpenter Street. I'm also a state USA officer with Skills. I play soccer, and I play marching band as well.
And also just a recent Skills winner, too, up there with the Teamworks.
Hello, everyone. My name is Amazer Lomka. I am in the Engineering Design Technology Shop. As well, I do track and field, and I'm also a junior class president.
Thank you. And thanks again for helping us out this afternoon. So first and foremost, the infographic here of our strategic plan. So first and foremost for us, it really starts with the foundation and our safe and supportive culture that we want to work together to establish here. And well, that culture really helps us be able to attain and also work through our career technical education priorities, as well as our academic and educational priorities as a whole as well. It leads us to our mission. And really, at the end of the day, we're all here working together to inspire and also support all of our students to achieve individual, career, and also educational excellence. Okay, the other thing is we really talk about here within our district is staying true to our core values. And Mr. Fisher will talk about how that's also to our student body as well, here, especially at the high school level. We're really talking about pride, professionalism, respect, integrity, dedication, and also enthusiasm. And with that being said, I am going to hand this over to Mr. Fisher, who is our high school principal.
Thank you. Tangent a little bit about what we want to instill in our students with pride. And to be honest with you, we're happy if they just get the P, the R, and the I. Sometimes the D and the E is a struggle. Mr. Fisher sometimes fixes them up with the D and the E. One of the things we strive for here is excellence in all that we do. So if you probably talk to some of our students, they get the E, but if you hear the E, it's probably excellence, because that's really what we strive here at Polytech when we talk about pride. We attempt to start that off with a ninth grade. As they come in as freshmen, we attempt to build that acronym in them, and hopefully by the time they graduate, they understand what pride stands for as they step out that door as adults. As Dr. Dixon already mentioned, our guiding principle is a safe and supportive home for all of our students, but just not our students, for our staff and also for our Polytech community, which means our families. Sometimes that means we have to go the extra just to make sure that our students and families are taken care of. Also engaging in CTE and academic hands-on experiences. Mr. Post will tell you a little bit about that in a second. And then also continuously providing students with opportunities and support. If you just indulge us for a second, just want to give you a short glimpse into the lives of a couple of months for the best students.
When I saw Polytech and I read through all the curriculum and even saw pictures of the school, I was like, this is the school I really want to go to.
Seventh grade, I started talking to my mom about it. I'm like, Mom, I want to go to Polytech. Polytech is my school. That's where I'm going.
When we heard about Polytech, we decided to visit and see all the programs they had to offer. And what I loved is the variety. And all the students get to experience all the shops.
The short rotation, you are in your shop for about 4 days. Through your short rotation, you experience all the shops, and then you go into the long rotation.
When you get in each long rotation, you kind of get an introduction of what goes on in the class. For example, in environmental science, we got to deal with the insects.
I'm really happy being in the welding shop. We all come together, and we all have each other's back. It's a great environment. I was in shock, honestly, because it's not like any other school I've ever seen.
Part of me was still kind of hesitant to leave my old school. I have all my friends, and I've been in that school district my whole life. But my first day at freshman orientation, I immediately fell in love with the school.
Over the course of my year here at Polytech, I have seen how I can make an impact on the world.
So here at Polytech, we have 21 programs of study that are moving for patents. Healthcare and medical services, industrial. And professional services. Our program and study fundamentals include high expectations for our students. I'm talking back to that five stage of the integrated learning, which integrates CPU, academic, and workplace policies. And engaging partnership with families, communities, and communities. Polytech is much more
than that. I'm certified in Adobe Photoshop, Premiere Pro, Illustrator, After Effects, and InDesign. The decision was very easy for me. I kind of didn't have any hesitancy. I just knew that Polytech was a good school. With the different experience that we've had, Polytech has helped me prepare for the future. All the different shops here give you a good look on what it actually is like outside of school. And I think it's really good for students so that they can go out and find a job in that field. The bonds I've created over the past 4 years are just very unique between the different things I'm involved in. I'm very blessed to have a positive support system. My parents definitely support my dreams. They just want to see me do well.
With him being, I guess for us, like our only child, we only get to do it once. So it's like, you got to get it right. I'm sorry. It's always like grades and education first. So I think that's what I loved about Polytech.
Polytech has helped me build confidence in my abilities. Everything we do is with a purpose. I am coming out of Polytech with so many options. I definitely feel prepared.
I'm Jeremy McIntyre, Assistant Director of the Adult Program. I'm glad to have you here tonight. Thankful that you had a chance to talk to some of our students earlier because you have a little bit of idea about the program. But I'm going to give you a little bit more information. So, we have roughly if you look at the slide there, about 2,000 or so students enrolled throughout the year this year. Actually, this is last year's information. And they're in three primary areas, our workforce development area, and then our adult high school, and then our ADHD itself population. So if you look at our academic areas, that includes our James H. Brooks Adult High School, the DE program, the English language learners, and also our adult basic education. Now, the English language learners is really our fastest growing area of our entire population. We have a significant number, and they're not only enrolled in our academic programs, but we also have opportunities for them to flow into our adult education programs. So we have a transitional program.
All right, Beth.
Our CPE areas of concentration include construction, which is our largest area on the CPE side, maintenance, healthcare, and operation. And I'll tell you a little bit more about each one of these as we go. You see a picture there in the bottom right corner of that slide, and that's our newest program, that's our aviation maintenance program, or at least one of our newest programs. Okay. So each of our program areas are broken down into really different levels. So we have, on the workforce side, our foundational level programs, and that's really intended to give somebody an introduction into whatever that technical area is, and help them to get some broad exposure and some foundational skills so that it'll be successful when they go to the apprentice level or the professional level program. And those programs really are designed to get them to professional licensure or certification so they can get the credentials they need to really succeed in their career. So for example, if you want to be an apprentice, I don't want to be an electrician in Kent County, this is where you have to go, and this is how you get this your pathway to get you want to be an electrician. And that applies to a lot of the programs as well. And then we have the community education program that we serve. We look at our maintenance programs. We have everything from water and wastewater to, as I mentioned, aircraft maintenance, industrial maintenance. And really, industrial maintenance is one of our larger programs when it comes to work with employers. So we really work with a lot of employers all through the state, but mostly here in Kent County, especially manufacturing employers. So we actually go on site to manufacturers do work there, and some of them send their students here during the day. We continue to provide services. Our healthcare program, we have a lot of different healthcare programs, but really probably the largest and most popular one would be the practical nursing one. We have 40 students. I think you met some of those earlier today. And they finish the entire program in less than a year, which is really phenomenal. We have great outcomes. All the students who graduated last year, currently 100% of them currently have their license, which is amazing. Then we have a phlebotomy program, which is probably our second most popular program right now. And we have great partnerships with local industry like Bay Health here in Kent County. And then we have an operation program. The newest part of that is our CDL program, and we're really proud of that. We help students be able to get their commercial driver's license so they can drive some of those big trucks, like the one you see in the picture there. Then we do warehouse support with training, and then we have a pretty significant IT program here as well. We can really build around the credentials that people need to work in the different IT areas. It's a short video I'm going to play now. Thank you.
A time-tested and proven model for training the future workforce talent. I had the opportunity and privilege to go through an apprenticeship myself years ago when I was in the Air Force, and I know it works. I'm living proof. So the reason why I think we have the increase in apprentice programs, we've seen the growth that we have, is because a lot of employers are turning to us and schools like us who are able to provide those programs because they recognize that apprenticeship works. And we're seeing a significant need right now because of the skills gap that exists in our country and right here in Delaware.
Apprenticeship has impacted me in the way that I was able to go from having a dream to working at a dealership as a mechanic to being able to go to school, open up my education, learn a lot more, and actually give myself that position.
Well, we're always looking for good employees, and I think that the students from Polytech have a leg up on a lot of other people because they have good background experience. They know more fundamentals than somebody that comes in off the street. Working at Price Honda and has given them an opportunity, us an opportunity, to bring in more students and help them achieve entry level and possibly advance into our main shop, which is the goal of most people. They don't want to just live in the express world. They want to be able to work on everything that comes through the door.
What an apprenticeship program really does is it gives you an opportunity to both learn what you need to do and why you need to do it. It provides students an opportunity to practice what they do in a real-world setting. Too often, the traditional education model, where a student would go to college for 2 years or 4 years and then go to work, not allow them to benefit from actually putting what they're learning into practice on a day-to-day basis. Apprenticeship actually does that. Gives the students to actually have some context for the learnings taking place, and then allows them to build on that learning as they put it in practice in the on-the-job training experience. When the student completes both the on-the-job training and the classroom training, they become what's known as a journey person. That journey person credential is the ticket, if you will, to being a recognized profession.
So if you look at, for example, our apprenticeship programs and our skill trade programs last year, and look at the number of students who are actually employed in the field, it's close to 100% a lot of those programs. Fact is that these programs are in significant demand, and we're really happy to provide a path for the young people to these programs. And the same is true for the other programs. Okay. That is it, Dr. Dickerson.
I also want to introduce here our adult education director, Dr. Betsy Jones, who also is a state adult education administrator here as well. So she was just honored with that over for about, I guess, 2 weekends ago. But congratulations again.
All right.
And also Mr. Nick Johnson, our director of operations. And we also had Dr. Tanya Pierce, the director of human resources and student support, student soloing. Bobby coming in here earlier, and also Ms. Jen Carpenter, our student activity coordinator for the high school. But again, we appreciate you being here, appreciate all your support of education, all of us across the state. I guess we really can't thank our Kent County and the state of Delaware enough, the communities we serve, support of our business industry, our families. Obviously, we have wonderful students, but we have so much support here. We're very thankful for here throughout Kent County, but throughout the state as well. We appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions from board members?
I have you. So students are enrolled in SHOPS. Do they take basic core classes too, like English, math, science, or, you know, they're doing their SHOP specific classes and regular
curriculum? Yeah, so what happens here for our high school side especially is that we'll have more time going through our technical program side. So for us, basically, once they choose a technical area or for a career technical program you study, the second part of the freshman year, during that program of study, that course, basically, a quarter every day. Right? Then obviously, we hope, and a lot of our students also take advantage of work-based learning as well once they get to that senior year. So we have more credits devoted to that program of study. I guess I would say within our schedule, more so than the traditional schedule.
So they're still taking English every year, math every year, science, social studies.
Still have all the same requirements. Okay. The one thing that's different, but we have all the same requirements that a student would have across the state of Delaware. But we also require 10 career technical credits for everyone.
Any other questions?
I have another
question. All right.
Your slide that you showed that said 99.65% of seniors measure Gates College and work career ready success metrics. What are those?
So the metrics there are actually in the report card. I think all of our districts would like to see at some point in time more of a multiple measure approach for our high school success metrics. But if you go to our state report card, you can see that on there. But that also includes not only SAT, meeting the benchmark there, also includes like things such as successful dual enrollment completion. It's our certifications, right? So all of our career technical areas or programs of study have certifications tied into the program, successful work-based learning. So more than just what we see a lot of times, and I think this communicated regarding this just about the SAP. This is the whole student and other metrics or other measures come into that percentage as well. So if you go to the report purchase, and actually I think it is something that we don't actually highlighted enough throughout the state, because throughout the state, as last year's report card, I think it was about 81% or a little bit higher than that, and still 80% that we had meeting the state career college metrics across the state, the ready metrics in that regard. So I think it's something we don't highlight enough, and we're very fortunate for the success we've had here at Polytech, but we're also seeing that with our students across the state as well. But when you look at other measures, just in, rather than just looking at SAT, right?
Any other questions?
I don't have a question as much as I have a comment. I want to say thank you for the presentation. It really went a long way in helping me appreciate what's happening here. And really, I'm talking about the horizontal integration, that it's not just your students who have chosen to come to college, but you are serving the business community here in Kent County throughout the state, as well as serving the whole family with adult education. So I really appreciate it. The presentation and the work is going on. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And just one thing, we did just have our advisory event last month, and I think we had over 300 people here, and we have our staff here, but then we also have lots of business and industry support and come throughout the town. And a great evening, and they help support us with what we do here as far as in all our areas, educating our students for face learning apprenticeship and so many other opportunities that they provide us by having these linkages. I'm strong support by our business industry community.
Thank you.
Dr. Dickinson, I'd also like to echo the sentiments of Dr. Griffin with the success in the presentation, and you and your staff, and congratulations to you. Question around admission, and how are students chosen for admission, and what does your demographics look like in terms of population of students?
I'll hand it over to the Director of Operations, who really kind of oversees from a district perspective with our admissions, who did really kind of go through right through our policy to be able to explain it the best, I think, you can see.
Yeah, so admission is a straight lottery base for our high school students. So anybody, any eligible ninth grader, they apply in the eighth grade. Also, we have about 2,100 eighth graders, somewhere right in there. We have about 1,000 apply this year, but it is pure lottery base. As long as you meet, you have a passing grade, you're eligible ninth grader, you're entered into the lottery, and it's a random number, randomly generated, and we admit about 350 a year. Normally, our classes hang around 320, 330 as they matriculate through. But again, strictly lottery based, and the demographics are really representative of the population we'll take down. We pretty much stick to that because it really is lottery based, so they don't really steer too far from that.
Okay. So when you land, does it actually reflect the demographics?
Of the yes. Yes, sir. It doesn't, it's again, it's pure lottery based, and whoever applies, everybody has an equal chance to get in here.
And we did have our most applicants ever this past year, I think 977.
We did. And something every year, we have the upper class lottery as well, but it's really driven off of how many seats are left over in the shops. And for the past 2 years, we're pushing 200-300 students a year that are looking to get here as a 10th grade student as well. But unfortunately, if we don't have the shop availability and enough to leave or anything like that, we're able to slide. Our upper class lottery is very low. But certainly students want to be here, the families want to be here. Again, we're getting about half of the kids that are in the ninth grade want to be coming.
You also indicated that you address the adult population also. What about the incarcerated community? Is there any reach to get to helping folks in the incarcerated
So we offer, we've had a partnership with the Department of Corrections for about 15 years now. And so we offer GT classes every week in, week out, year round at the level 4 facility. There are separate adult programs that exist at level 5 across the state that are sister programs. And then we also have a bunch of technical programs going on. So maintenance fundamentals, building construction, or some of those apprenticeship on ramps that are happening in the level 5 facilities as well.
That our staff run.
Yeah.
And then we do work with some of the people who are getting out to help them transition in our programs with the values.
I'd love to hear some of the success stories of how you're helping people transition back to society. That's great. And lastly, I wanted to ask a question about financial services and entrepreneurship or financial academy. Do you lean into that space in at Polytech at all? I mean, with some like Howard High as an academy of finance and entrepreneurship, do you have that type of offering here?
I'll let Mr. Post talk about that here a little bit here. Who's the SCP and Max, you come up here.
So actually, it's great that you bring that up. We just started, we will be launching the Chamber of our business finance marketing program.
Right now, we also offer electives in those areas that really kind of helps some of our students in other career programs of study, but they're also good to have some of the entrepreneurship and other business skills and knowledge that come along with those programs. So we're going to reintroduce. We did have, for years, we did have a business pathway or program of study. We are going to bring back a business finance and marketing program of study. We think there's opportunities for our students, from our service and what we learn from our business industry community, and also we think it's another one that really augments everything we do here, and how that actually serves other programs as well.
Good. I think that's essential. We teach them skills and employment. We need to really layer that entrepreneurship so that we can teach how we can go into business for ourselves and create income. Lastly, I'll turn it over to you, Larry. What keeps you up late?
Oh, man, it's just whatever we can do to best serve our students, right, and our best serve our community. So at the end of the day, we're very fortunate for the district community we serve and everyone that's been part of our district community and includes all our communities throughout, and obviously Kent County. Very fortunate for our families, our staff, and all our supporters and partners, and most importantly, our students. But I think at the end of the day, what can we do best here to serve? I think that's at the end of the day, right? So it's always about continuous improvement and looking at what opportunities we give all our students. And the great thing here is it's 9 through adult, right? And that adult age is, what could that adult age be there, Dr. Jones?
70.
And the last thing is, right, what opportunity we can give them so they're best prepared for success once they go into those careers and those aspirations they have.
Thank you so much.
What would be the percentage of students who graduate in the 12th grade who go on to college as opposed to directly into the workforce?
At the high school level, it was like a 60-40. So 60 in some regards, 2-4 years of college, but even around 20% around that, as far as 2 years, and about 40 to 45 as far as 4 years. That changes kind of every year, too, with every class as well. So right around 60-65%. Now, some of that also entails some other trades, but we do have students also go to high school. They can have advanced credit as well, especially in our youth apprenticeship programs, coming right here to our Dot A. So we do see other training avenues as well. Further education, their students also engage in. At the same token, we do have a good percentage of our students who not only engage in the post-secondary work, but also have meaningful career opportunities as well. So that's kind of what we're seeing right now. Probably about maybe when you talk about just going into a career itself, at the high school level, probably about 35-40%. The one thing that we are bringing back here a little bit, I think that we're going to be able to have even more information in that regard is we're going to bring back our post-graduate track. So we get a lot of information now, right after their senior year. But we're going to come back with our studies 6 months after, 2 years after, really follow our students and really put the system in place. So that's kind of our next goal here, to kind of even have even more meaningful data even to augment what I just kind of mentioned here. Thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, question from Tom. I'm going to talk to Kevin, Dr. Dickerson.
There you go.
When you talk about, you always talk about Kent. Are you guys limited to only being Kent? Is there a maximum radius that you guys can take students from? I don't know how that works.
So primarily here, I'll let Mr. Johnson kind of mention that. Primarily, we pretty much have our entire high school population, pretty much Kent County. We do have a couple exceptions.
Yeah, so... predominantly, we are the technical school that serves Kent County, but if a student is in Newcastle or Sussex, as long as they can get here or get to a bus route, what we call hub stop, we can service them, but we do try to make sure they're being served in the county that they reside and afford them to one of their technical schools there, but we do have agreement with the other schools where if a student can purchase the year they enter the lottery, they are accepted, then they do have the ability to come.
Sometimes one of our schools, like for Sussex Tech, may have a different program than we do. We may offer something different. Newcastle may be in that same situation. So we've always tried to serve the needs of our students and work together.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I'll just say that I want to commend you and the students that we met this afternoon. They were phenomenal, but equally impressive were the adult ed students and just hearing their journey, their stories and what they do and actually, you know, balancing life and jobs and career and school is pretty impressive. So you guys have done a great job.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Great team. We're very proud of our team. And
yeah.
We're all here to work together. And most importantly, we want to see successful student outcome. We want to see our students be prepared for their career and their journeys.
And they certainly feel supported. That's great.
Yeah, I would add to that. Your students are your best ambassadors. In talking with the high school students this afternoon, it was clear that they felt seen and heard here at the school, that there was a respect between students and faculty member. To hear one young lady identify two of her instructors as her school moms, said a lot that she felt that she was cared for, that she was heard. it spoke volumes, as did the young man from your adult ed program who felt he had found his future in the laundromat, seeing one of your brochures for adult ed sitting on a cabinet in the laundromat, that it was almost like a sign for him, here was your future, and you can learn and you can improve. All of your students were extremely positive, and so I think they speak volumes about the quality of education that they are getting here in Polytech. So thank you very much, Dr. Dickerson, and your staff with a fine job to put.
Well, thank you. And again, thanks for all your support. I do want to point out, I think, an exceptional thing to say, Board Center of the Year is have a student representative. So Sage did a great job. Saw my division coalition there a couple weeks ago and really represent the state and our high school students. And I think it's awesome that he has this opportunity and also the leader and expressing those leadership skills for all of us across the state. So thank you. And I'm going to go out and see some of his classmates, but Cesar Rodney's here for a couple events. And then after that, I'll be back in here later on. But again, thank you for being here this evening and welcome to all our guests who are here tonight as well. Thank you. I'll see everybody a little bit later.
Again, I'd like to also extend our welcome to any guests who have come in this evening after the meeting had started. I just want to remind you, if you would please, if you have not already signed in, there is a sign-in sheet at the table over by the door. We do ask any guests that come and attend the meeting to please
sign for the comments.
There are two sheets over there, one for regulations and one for general public comments, so whichever you're going to be making. And so, yeah, if you would please just sign the sign-in sheets, we'd be greatly appreciative of that.